going on, everybody? Alan Kenny, managing editor of CrystalBallRun.com, the Blogging Network's college football blog. And I'm joined tonight by Ben Kercheval of College Football Talk. We're going to look at some of the big stories in college football this week, especially last night's big clash between the Alabama Crimson Tide and LSU Tigers, as well as kind of projecting where things are heading with the BCS. But let me go ahead and bring Ben on. Ben, how you doing?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks for having me.
All right, fantastic. Well, you know, before we get into the BCS rankings that were just unveiled, I wanted to talk to you about the big game last night at Tiger Stadium. You know, we saw these two teams square off twice last season, then got into it again this year, and I thought that this year's edition was, at least as a fan, far more entertaining than anything we saw last year.
Yeah, well, there were touchdowns on both sides. it was great. We were a little bit absent on that last year. It was a lot of fun. There were some very compelling storylines for each side. On one hand, and this is something I know you and I have exchanged some emails about beforehand. It was, you know, did Alabama get a little bit, especially with the pass defense, or did LSU play up a little bit? I think it's a combination of both, and there's no denying that LSU has skilled players on both sides of the ball. I think the frustrating part watching the Tigers this year is saying, well, when are they going to be able to put it together, and Zach Mettenberger, when's he going to be this quote-unquote missing piece everyone thought he was going to be before the start of the season? And lo and behold, against all defenses of all teams, comes together at the right time against Alabama. I think if you put Mettenberger and A.J. McCarron side by side, even though it was McCarron who had the game-winning drive, who ended up getting the win, Mettenberger probably had the more complete game and played a little bit better. And so it looked like the proverbial light came on for him. So for LSU, played, I think, on all three phases of the ball, played the best football they've played all year. But then for Alabama, they've steamrolled everybody. And I think, though, a real championship contender, you got to get hit in the mouth one or two times a season. You got to be able to taste your own blood and sort of know you're alive a little bit and learn how to respond to that. And this was that they got knocked around a little bit, and then they come out, and with a minute and a half remaining, they respond and show that, yeah, they're as mentally tough as they are physically tough. So just a lot of great football, a lot of great storylines involved in that game. A lot of fun, easily the best game of the year.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely lived up to the hype this time. And, you know, you mentioned it's kind of one of those things where I know that Les Miles has taken a lot of heat for all the different gambles he took, you know, going for it on fourth down, you know, all the fakes and all that. But to me, I mean, you know, they wouldn't have been in the situation that they were in had they not have decided to go a little bit unconventional, especially, you know, I mean, they really broke a lot of their tendencies by throwing so much, particularly on early downs last night with Mettenberger, and really nobody expected it, but they put it on Mettenberger to win the game for them.
They did. They put a lot more confidence in Mettenberger than they've showed, I think, really at any point in the season. And I thought that was interesting, but he responded. And then there was a point where I was really impressed with the fact that they kept going with the passing game, even though there were some early drops by the receivers. And there was a point, really, in between the sort of the second and third quarters where LSU's offense, the chemistry between Mettenberger and the receivers, they were feeling it.
Yeah.
I mean, could really tell. They were feeling it. They were on the same pace. The receivers were making spectacular catches. They were really doing well. So really liked the way that they approached the passing game. I think kept it all under control. Mettenberger didn't ask him to do too much, but you know, allowed him to go out there and make plays with the physical tools that he has. You can look at some of the calls by Les Miles, especially when it comes to the field goal game, first trying with the fake and then trying the 54-yarder. It all kind of, it was very head-scratching that in the first half, but you're in a big game and you're going to try to put yourself in a position to win, and it didn't work out, but you know, there you were. If you're LSU, there you were with a minute and a half left, and you had the lead. Your defense had kept Alabama off the scoreboard in the second half, and Alabama needed to drive 70-plus yards to get a touchdown they needed to drive probably about 50-something yards to get a field goal. So you were in a position, if you're LSU, you were in a position to win despite some of the first half mistakes. So when it's a close game like that, it's all get magnified, the thing that you could or you should have done. But you can say that for both sides. And I think generally Les Miles and his staff, they called a pretty good game, had Alabama on their heels for a very large portion of that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Alabama got the win, which kept them number one in the latest BCS standings. And really, things have kind of shaken out to where we've got four teams kind of jockeying there for those two spots in the final national championship game. This week, Oregon apparently jumped Notre Dame from 4-3. So we've got Alabama 1, Kansas State still 2, Oregon 3, Notre Dame 4. So, you know, kind of looking at how things are shaking out, everyone keeps winning. Who's going to be there in the end if all four of those teams went out?
If everything stays as is, I would expect Alabama and Oregon. I think that Oregon's going to jump one more spot. If everything stays as is, everybody keeps winning. And basically because they have the best final slate of games, I think, of any of the top four.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unfair that we're going to be basing this on a what have you done in the final month of the season, but that's the BCS, that's the world that we live in, so that's kind of the way it's going to work out. But Oregon still has to play. They play Cal next week. Shouldn't really be any problem with that. But then they play Stanford, they play Oregon State, and then, you know, if you assume that they win all those, they're going to go to the Pac-12 championship game, have a game there. But really, Stanford and Oregon State, I think if you look at those two games, it's going to be a real tough stretch as far as those four undefeated teams go. I think Alabama's got, you know, they have Texas A&M and then Auburn. Should be okay with that. Kansas State, I think from a resume standpoint, from start to finish, they're a little bit more, I think, consistent in their resume in that, the Oklahoma win was obviously very big for them, going on the road and beating the Sooners in Norman. But in terms of great wins, it's a little bit just kind of more even, more consistent. Nothing really stands out outside of an Oklahoma win, but a lot of quality wins against some good opponents. Beat Texas Tech. West Virginia at the time was pretty hot, went in there and handled Mountaineers and Morgantown. So do a lot of great things. But as far as that last month of the season, it's tough not to like Oregon's, you know, slate coming up. So I think when you combine that with the fact that they're getting a lot of love already in the Heisman polls and with the voters, I think they're going to end up jumping K-State. I think they're going to be able to cover that ground. I think they're going to finish number two. K-State seems going to drop. And then if you're Notre Dame, all else stays the same, they're definitely on the outside looking in. They're going to need a lot of help. They're going to need two teams to lose.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's looking right now at the moment. Let's stack these teams up, though, in terms of actual strength. If these four teams are all squaring off on neutral field, who are you going with? How are you ranking them? I got to assume Alabama's number one.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any dispute about that, especially after the way that they played last night. Alabama's going to be number one. I'm going to put Kansas State at number two. I think on all three phases of the ball, they've been a little bit more consistent. Oregon's known for the firepower on offense. They've improved greatly on defense. They look a lot better, even though they gave up a lot of points to USC. Overall, they've been pretty good on defense this year. But so is Kansas State. And don't think for a second that the Wildcats aren't explosive. They're still putting up points too. I know that I think the misnomer about them is that they're so grinded out, ground and pound with Colin Klein and Hubert that they're not capable of being explosive. I don't think that's true. I do think they are, and they play really solid special teams, play great Snyder ball. So I like them at number two. Going to go with Oregon at number three. I think you could flip those two, but I'm going to give that edge to Kansas State. Put Oregon number three. And then Notre Dame, I love their defense. Manti Te'o's playing great football right now. They are great. I think they're capable of locking down anybody in the country. But that offense, man, if they're off even just a little bit, I think you saw on Saturday what that can do. They went from playing probably the most balanced offense they played all year a week ago against Oklahoma. look the best they've looked all year to looking pretty bad against Pitt. So the fact that they're all over the place on offense is still a concern to me. So I would put Notre Dame at number four.
Man, see, I don't know. Obviously, you know, as an Oklahoma fan, I watched the Notre Dame and Kansas State game so closely, and I came away more impressed with Notre Dame and thought that they actually might have the stronger team than Kansas State between those two.
Well, I think if you're going to look at that Oklahoma game isolated by itself, to me, there's no doubt that, yeah, that the Oklahoma performance against the Sooners, and that's the great part about this comparison, is if you're looking at it almost like in a lab thing, yeah, it's kind of in a vacuum. They were both on the road in Norman, so there's a really great basis for a comparison there. And if you're going to put it in the vacuum, I would definitely put Notre Dame's performance against Oklahoma, you know, if we're going to put it in the rankings, I would say, yeah, that they had the better performance there. I think overall, Kansas State is a better football team than Notre Dame is.
Ah, gosh, I don't know, man. To me, it's awfully close. I don't. Gosh.
And that's the thing about this. That's the thing about these teams outside of Alabama. Yeah, you start trying to put them at 2, 3, and 4, Alan, you could make a very compelling case for single one of them. And that is the difficulty as you get toward the end of the season, is ultimately, I think, if everything stays the same, Oregon's going to be the team in the BCS championship. There are going to be some people in Manhattan and Southern Indiana who think they have a very, real beef, and they're going to have some points, man. So it's going to be a very tight race into the last part of the year. A lot of quality wins all the way around.
Yeah, you know, looking just at the Sagarin rankings for strength of schedule, they've got Alabama number one, Kansas State, or pardon me. With their strength of schedule, they've got Alabama 17th. They've got Kansas State 33. They've actually got Notre Dame at 16, and they've got Oregon 47th. So, you got to think that Oregon will probably be moving up there. Kansas State might be moving down. But that Notre Dame number kind of jumps out, doesn't it? I don't know.
It does jump out. Again, we come back to this last part of the season, and this is, to me, one of the most unfair parts of the BCS, but it's going to be, all right, how's the computer average going to work here in the last, in the last month or so when you combine it with the voters? And already, just in 1 week, we saw Notre Dame's computer average slip from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Now that's just going to be the fate for Notre Dame. It's just how it's going to be. And that's unfortunate, but there's really nothing you can do as a football team except you just try to take care of your business and hope that as you get closer and closer to that early December date, someone else just has a bad game and flips up.
All right. Well, you know, speaking of which, we've got these four teams trying to finish the year out undefeated. But I want to look at their schedules really quickly. And for each team, let's try to figure out where they're most likely to get that loss. Looking at Alabama, I mean, you know, Texas A&M's coming. I mean, do you have any – is Johnny Football going to be able to go there to Tuscaloosa and pull off the win?
No.
Yeah.
I like Johnny Manziel as much as the next guy. I think he's one of the most exciting players in college football. Love watching him. I think he's great. But Kevin Sumlin's done a fantastic job at Texas A&M this year. Surpassed all expectations I've ever had of this football team this year. I think they're going to be just fine down the road. Against very quality defenses, though, against LSU, against Florida this year, Manziel struggled a little bit. Still been able to put up some yards, but showed a lot of youth. Committed some turnovers, didn't always play well consistently, especially in the second half. You try to put that against Alabama's defense. He might create some electrifying plays. Don't think it's going to be enough by himself to get it done. So I don't see Alabama losing to Texas A&M, even though that's kind of becoming the sexy upset pick right now. I think Alabama, I'm gonna do the worst thing I can possibly do, Alan. That's assume things, but I'm gonna assume that Alabama goes to the SEC championship game at this point. Whoever they face, likely gonna be Georgia. I think Georgia gives them the best chance of a loss.
All right. Next up, Oregon. They've got Oregon State. They've got Stanford. I believe that Cal. Yeah, and then they've also got that Pac-12 championship game, which I'm assuming will be at Outson.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Oregon State here in terms of the team that's most likely to upset the Ducks. A couple of reasons. Stanford, It looks like they're going to get a change at quarterback. I think they're going to get rid of Josh Nunes and put in Kevin Hogan. But Stanford, from a matchup standpoint, even when they had Andrew Luck, showed the past couple of years, just not a matchup that favors the Cardinals. So even though they're a top 15 team, they're doing pretty well. Just don't think it's a matchup that favors them this year. Too much speed on Oregon and on defense. I think it matches up too well for the Ducks. But I like Oregon State. They've gotten a little bit more explosive this year on offense. They have a couple of really great wide receivers that I think can stretch the field. On defense, they're the fifth best defense in the country in terms of rushing yards allowed. That's, you know, going to come in handy when you're playing against Oregon. So the key in this game is sort of like what you would expect out of a Big 12 game, Alan. I'm sure you can appreciate that. Whereas you don't have to play perfect. You need to make a couple of stops, though. You just need to make a couple of turnovers. Keep it close. It's going to be a rivalry game. It's going to be at Oregon State. I would think that the Ducks are going to ultimately be fine. But if you talk about all those things, where's the slip-up going to happen? If you get all those conditions right, Oregon State plays up, and then Oregon, just for whatever reasons, off its game a little bit. I think you have everything there as a recipe for an upset for the Ducks.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, they might get UCLA there in the Pac-12 championship game, which could be kind of interesting.
I think that UCLA team's pretty interesting because they're very quiet right now. No one's really talking about them. They were hot early on, had a couple of losses, like you said. But there they are, sneaking up in those BCS rankings and they get that end of the year showdown against USC. Who knows? Trojans might still be reeling. Overall, they've been a very undisciplined football team. Managed to cut down on the penalties this last week against the Ducks, but you know, UCLA, it might be one of those years where normally USC dominates that series. You get one of those years where UCLA is playing a little bit better than anyone expected them to. Trojans, even though they have the talent, not playing quite up to the potential. And again, you get one of those off years where UCLA takes advantage of that. Would not surprise me in the least bit if UCLA makes it to the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah. Okay, Kansas State. They've got going to TCU this weekend, then they're going to Baylor. Finish it up. They have an off week, and then finish it up with Texas coming to Manhattan. Where's the loss coming here, if at all?
This is a little bit less obvious than the other three. I think that Kansas State handles Baylor no problem. To me, it comes down they have to go on the road against TCU. Showed a lot of guts winning in overtime against West Virginia, considering that the offense just hasn't played all that great all year. They've had some turnover problems early on in the season. Defense is still pretty good under Gary Patterson. That's always going to be kind of a staple of that program. So that's an interesting game to me. I think that Kansas State has enough to survive that one. So then you look ahead at the year, you know, end of the year at Texas, and I haven't been sold on Texas this year. They got a lot of love after finishing 2011 off with a bowl win against Cal in the Holiday Bowl, but it still felt they were really young in a lot of real key areas. Wasn't quite sold on them just yet. They have the talent, and my goodness, if they can just. I was watching them against Texas Tech this weekend, and I thought to myself, my goodness, Texas actually used its skill guys before.
I know. Yeah.
If they would just give the ball to Marquise Goodwin and DJ Monroe, I mean, tweets from 2010, right, Alan?
Yeah, no doubt.
We need to get the ball to DJ Monroe more. Well, then give them the ball. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to do. But so I like, in terms of a matchup, I really like Texas from a skill position standpoint. Thought they showed a lot of heart, a lot of grit, haven't shown before, rebounding and winning against Texas Tech. Thought that was a really great win for Mac Brown and that program, considering that it stopped the bleeding a little bit. So if Texas can get on a little bit of a roll and start playing its best football at the end of the season, I think theoretically, yeah, Texas could go into Manhattan, pull a stunner against Kansas State. So between TCU and Texas to pull the ups, I think if Texas really starts elevating its play again, starts playing well down the stretch, I think that they can get it done.
You know that movie Swingers where they're in the bar talking, you know, and Vince Vaughn's talking with John Favreau, and he's like, you know, you're like this bear with these big claws, and there's the bunny. And you just go up and you kind of bat the bunny around, and you kind of play nice with it, you know. but you got these big claws. That's what it's like watching Texas. They've got so many great, like, so much talent at all the skill positions, but they nibble around the edges with everything, and they try to set all this stuff up and get cute. You're right. Yesterday was kind of like the first time I've watched them and thought, okay, you know, they actually realize, like, hey, we can go down the field to Mike Davis pretty consistently. You know, these guys can't.
Yeah. It was the point where David Ash was like 6 of 6 for like 180 yards. And yeah. Like, where was this at every other point during the year? The thing is with Texas is I can't ever quite put my finger on exactly what is wrong. Because clearly they have the talent. I mean, there's never any question about that. And I'm not going to go so far as saying Mack Brown's not a good coach or that he doesn't have good assistants. I mean, I think he is a good coach. I do think he has good assistants. For some reason, it's never quite translating. I don't know why. I don't know if they try to get too cute on offense or whatever. It's clearly on defense. It was a tackling thing. And not like they're lacking guys there. I mean, I think you have a handful of guys who are probably going to be playing on Sunday at one point. So it's not that. It's just so I, for some reason, it seems like Texas can't take the pieces that they have and put it together, at least over the past couple of years. I believe that the Vince Young and the Colt McCoy years, sort of like the Peyton Manning of college football, sort of masked mm-hmm. some problems that I think that they had. So Texas is just a tough team, a tough program to kind of figure out right now. Can't quite do it. About watching all the games and trying to dissect who does what well, I can't quite dissect Texas.
Yeah, they've been a mystery for a while. All right, finishing up, last one, Notre Dame. I'm assuming that this has got to be USC, given that they've got Wake Forest and Boston College also left on their schedule.
Yeah, this one's pretty obvious. I think you go on the road to USC, and again, it just kind of depends on how well the Trojans are playing, down toward the end of the year. But as far as the competition goes, I mean, Pitt's not a great team this year, but they still have some talent on that team. I mean, it's not like Pitt is completely starved of good football players. So. Underachieved the past couple of years, but every once in a while they pop up and they play a pretty good game. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking for a while yesterday watching that game. I was like, there looks like there's a point where Pitt was going to win. I thought, Pitt, not a great football program recently, but they will screw up your BCS championship hopes like nobody else.
Yeah, you know,
they're gonna come out and they're just gonna destroy your hopes and dreams, and you're gonna be sitting there wondering what happened, you know. So I can understand why Notre Dame struggled against Pitt a little bit, but I think you look at Boston College and Wake Forest, there's no question. There just isn't. Boston College, that program's been running to the ground. There's no recruits in that area, no facility, no fan base. So, I mean, I don't think Boston College gets it done. Wake Forest, I don't think gets it done either. If Notre Dame's going to be upset, I think it's going to be on the road against USC. Trojans, there's such great skill position there, and that's going to be such a great matchup. No matter who wins, Alan, it's going to be Matt Barkley and Marquise Lee and Robert Woods against that defense. Whew.
Yeah.
that's fun. You know, you're sitting there going like, that's probably going to be a matchup I'm going to be seeing here in a couple of years on Sunday. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Really looking forward to that game a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's like you mentioned, it's the strength of USC going up against the strength of Notre Dame. So should definitely be a fun one. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I tend to side with you. I think we're, you know, on a collision course here, though, for Alabama, Oregon at this point. And who would have thought that, an undefeated Notre Dame could potentially be left out of the BCS championship game, man?
That's incredible to me. And if Notre Dame and Alabama played, you know, theoretically in a BCS championship, the football gods could not be more pleased. This is a ratings goldmine. It's to have Notre Dame and Alabama play the BCS championship game. But it comes down to, it just comes down to what you do during the year. And the interesting part about Notre Dame is if you look at that schedule, before the season started. He had at Michigan State, Michigan, Stanford, Oklahoma, USC. You thought there's the potential for 5-6 games that if Notre Dame can win those games, there's no question they're going to be in a BCS championship. But those early on, you know, Michigan State, Michigan didn't quite pan out.
Yeah.
Like they thought they were going to do. And same thing with Alabama. They played Michigan at the beginning of the year, and then just for some reason, I don't know why people thought that was going to be a close game. But I don't get it either. You're not going to run east to west on that football team. But the same thing, I think a lot of people thought, oh, that's going to be close. Michigan just hadn't quite panned out. Michigan State hasn't quite panned out. So it's so unfortunately that hurts Notre Dame, you know, in this year. Eventually, though, Alan, we're going to have a 14 playoff. We're not going to have this conversation.
Yeah.
At least not as it pertains to the top four. We're going to be talking about it for the fifth and the sixth and the seventh place team. But we're, you know, now we're sitting here going like, hey, I think we can move this playoff up here in a couple of years and try to get – Let them play it out on the field. It's going to be an interesting year. I think this last month of the season is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of really great games left to be played.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know there are a couple suits there at ESPN lighting a few candles, hoping that somehow they do end up with that Alabama-Notre Dame matchup, I'm sure. But anyway, Ben, I'm taking up way too much of your time on a Sunday night. I really appreciate you coming on. Let everybody know, again, I know you're at College Football Talk. What's your Twitter handle there?
Yeah, you can reach me at CFT Ben Kirchival.
Outstanding. Okay, and like I said, Ben, really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, Alan. Anytime.
All right, and thank you all for joining us, too, for CrystalBallRun.com. I'm Alan Kennedy. Take it easy. Take your heart.